Thank you. See the battles for souls and we on the front lines. So many soldiers too scared to fight. They too worried about what people thinking of their life. How can you fight if you won't lay down your pride? And how will anyone see if you won't shine your light? So many of your friends is walking around blind. And you got the source that can open up their eyes. It's y'all's choice what to do with your lives. But I'ma go to war cause I made up my mind. Jesus gave his life when he went and died. So the least that I can do is just give him all of mine. So how many of y'all are ready to fight by my side? Cause this is what he's saying right now, here tonight, come on.
Are you real? I want to know. Are you real? Then let it go.
All right. Hey, good morning to our friends on the West Coast. Good afternoon to our friends on Mountain Time, Central Time, and on the East. And now it's time for Teens Talk Truth with your host. I see AJ. Where's Alex?
He's over here.
Hey, Alex, how are you?
I'm good. How about
yourself? Gentlemen, I think this is your first broadcast of 2024.
I do believe so.
Yes, know? Sir. And I see you have one of your favorite guests back on. Hey, Doctor, how are you, sir?
I'm fine. I'm doing very well.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to step aside. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is Teens Talk Truth with AJ and Alex, and they've got a special guest on this morning. I'll let them do the rest.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm AJ, and welcome to Teens Talk Truth radio show, where we discuss hot topics affecting teens in our society today. We hope you all had a great start to your weekend. Before we get to the topic, we're going to shout out to Positive Teens in the News.
Before we do that, we want to give a shout out to my brother AJ here because it's almost his birthday in about a week. He'll be, 18?
What?
Done that next week. Not gonna lie. But
all to me doing that.
That is correct.
Yes.
Wow. Time flies, doesn't it?
Indeed it does. Registering the vote and everything was...
Uh-oh. Absolutely. I'm not going to suggest who you should vote for, but don't make it Republican. Okay. All right.
I mean, you can. Like, I'm pretty sure I already know, I got two people to choose from. So,
Hey, enjoy your show.
All right, we will. We will.
A 13-year-old wonder kid is the first human to beat Tetris. This article is by Andrew Paul. A casual gamer could reasonably assume that after nearly 35 years, there aren't many achievements left to attain in the original Nintendo version of Tetris. Willis Blue Scooty Gibson, however, is not a casual gamer by any stretch of the imagination. And on December 21st, the 13-year-old pulled off a seemingly impossible feat. He became the first person to break the classical puzzle game. During a live stream, Gibson shocked viewers and himself by encountering a never-before-documented game-ending glitch while playing Tetris on level 157. To pull off an achievement many once believed impossible, Gibson relied on hours of training, a dedicated community of like-minded gamers, as well as a decades-deep history of playing innovation, statistical analysis, and perseverance.
Mm, I really like this art. I didn't know it was a beatable game.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I thought it was just one of those that, you know, you beat your high score and you lose continuously until, you know, you get tired of playing and you don't go back, you know? Yeah. But that's pretty cool to beat up. But it's kind of interesting that how long, 35 years it said? That nobody's beating it? That's crazy though. But I mean, good job. I didn't know that was a thing. Learn something new every day. All right, and now to everybody's favorite segment, the What Had Happened Was. Take it away.
When retired postman Rodney Holbrook set up cameras to try to find out who was tidying his shed almost every night, he found an unexpected helper scurrying around his workbench. The black and white night vision footage revealed that a tiny mouse was behind the mysterious tidying, helpfully moving objects left on the workbench into the box. At first, I noticed that some food that I was putting out for the birds was ending up in some old shoes I was storing in the shed. So I set up a camera to see what was going on. Holbrook, who lives on Bilth Wells, a small town in central Wales, about 60 miles north of the capital city, Cardiff, said in a statement. Footage from that camera captured the mouse carrying objects like screwdrivers, clothes pegs, or pieces of cable in its mouth and clambering into boxes almost as tall as itself.
Who taught the mouse how to organize?
Don't worry about it.
Is this the rat? Oh, well, I don't know if you can see it. It's not that big. But who taught you how to organize stuff? And why can't all of you do it? And why don't we all have one, you know?
Dude, it is that big. It's on a finger. It's on a hand.
I know. I mean, it fits in the palm of your hand like a normal size mouse, but like, still, why don't all mice do this? And why don't we have one?
Because one, mom wouldn't let us have it, and two, people have cats.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
But like, for the people who don't have cats, like us, we don't have cats.
Okay, but
I need one.
Most people don't like mice. You do understand that, right?
That would be very beneficial.
You just can't expect Mickey Mouse and Jerry to pull up in your house and not get sick by Tom. You just can't let that.
I can. All right, but now to introduce our guest, Dr. Koye Oyurende. I said that right?
No.
The second round?
Correct. Koye Oyurende, MD, Dr. PH, is a pediatrician and health policy expert. His more than 30 years of experience include stints as a medical officer, pediatrician, health policy researcher, and teacher.
Welcome to the show once again, Dr. Oyurende.
Thank you very much.
All right. So today, I'm going to be talking about COVID and other, viral?
Yes.
Viral respiratory virus. Wait, viral means virus. Respiratory viruses. I don't
know why I said it's more about respiratory viruses in general, yes.
Okay, so other than COVID, what other and the flu, what other respiratory viruses are there?
Well, so you have it's called the common cold virus. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's common, so that's like the most, actually the most common of all of them. they have the flu, they have this RSV. It's called the respiratory syncytial virus, RSV. And more recently, we have the COVID. So these are the ones that you generally put in that category of respiratory viruses. There are a few other viruses you might catch, for example, the measles virus. It's also a respiratory virus. It goes in through your airways and then causes havoc over there. But it's not that common because we now have vaccinations in childhood against measles.
I might be confused on this, but wasn't there a vaccination or something for RSV as well?
There's now a new vaccination for RSV. For that, actually two, we can put them in two categories. Mm-hmm. There's the vaccination you give to adults.
Right.
And to pregnant women. Okay. And there's the antibodies that's available to children. The children under 8 months of life. Mm-hmm. And a few other kids who are above that when they have specific reasons where they're prone to RSV.
So is that one of those that you get at a certain age?
No, you get it's one. So for the antibodies, you get it because the antibodies don't give you, you don't, when you get antibodies, you're not making the, you're not mounting an immune response against the virus. The antibodies go into the body and fight the virus for you. So it's called passive immunity. You're not doing anything on your own.
Okay.
The when you get a vaccine, say like the one the adults get,
mm-hmm.
that makes the body create its own antibodies. So it's called active immunity.
Okay.
So for little kids, it's one shot every, well, it's supposed to be one shot every season
mm-hmm.
when we have the, it's called the RSV season, usually about this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's for kids under 8 months, that means you get it only one time. By the following year, it should be strong enough that you don't need the vaccine. Mm-hmm. But for kids who have severe heart problems, some kids have immunodeficiencies, so they cannot mount an immune response.
Mm-hmm.
Some kids who are on some chronic medications or have bleeding problems.
Mm-hmm.
You might have to get a second shot the following season.
Okay.
But in general, it's just one shot one season and that's it. By the next season, most kids are strong enough to fight RSV on their own.
So how do you get RSV? Because to be honest with you, I'd never heard of it until like a couple weeks ago when my aunt got it. And then, you know, I didn't even know that was a thing. So I guess what I'm asking is what are the transmission?
Right. So the RSV, like all the other respiratory viruses, have essentially the same mode of transmission. Mm-hmm. We call them droplets. And so it's like when you speak, mm-hmm. some little droplets come out of your mouth. When you cough, you sneeze, you have little droplets that carry these germs. And they float around in the room for a while. You might inhale somebody else's droplets. And if they're carrying RSV, then that's how you might catch it. Sometimes the droplets drop on the surface. And even the guy who coughed up or sneezed is out of the room and gone. But you are coming in later and just put your hand on that table or, you know, furniture or chair or something like that. And you get contaminated with the droplets that they left behind. Yeah, so that's how we get it. So we then inhale the droplets. They multiply in our upper airways. For most adults, that's where it ends. You have a little sniffles, maybe sore throat, maybe you just feel uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But if it keeps multiplying and thriving, it then goes down into the lower airways, mm-hmm. and then it might then go into the lung tissues themselves. Mm-hmm. So in babies, particularly RSV in babies, they are not able to keep it only in their upper airways. It then goes into the lower airways. They start to cough with a wheeze. Mm-hmm. They start to have difficulty breathing. And then it might actually then go and infect their lungs. And oftentimes you have to admit them to hospital and give them oxygen, mm-hmm. and help them breathe. Mm-hmm. And some really, really small kids may actually die from RSV.
So is it like, is it like the flu or, not like the flu? Is it like a cold where like sometimes you just have to let it pass, or is there like medicine other than the antibodies and the
right.
vaccine that you get for it?
So in general, the viruses really are not like bacteria. Bacteria, you have antibiotics to go to treat them. Mm-hmm. In general, we don't really have that kind of antivirus mm-hmm. for viruses. We have some, like now we have treatments for COVID, mm-hmm. but they don't really work like antibiotics. The antibiotics, you get them, you know, in 3-4 days, mm-hmm. you know, you're fine and all that. It takes a lot more effort to eradicate viruses. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, the way the medicines work is to help the body to fight them. Mm-hmm. And so, so even with COVID, if you are not severely ill, the doctor might not prescribe an antiviral. Just say, well, you seem to be fighting it well, so let's just watch and see. Right. If you start having difficulty breathing, you know, then maybe you need to come to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And then they do all kinds of tests and decide, well, you need to stay and not go home. So in general, for most viruses, we don't really need any treatment. We just need to just let it run its course. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, it's about 7 to 10 days, you feel a lot better.
7 to 10 days, wow.
Yeah.
That's a whole week.
Well, the main thing is you have to keep yourself well hydrated, because when you have all those upper airway infections, we tend to breathe more frequently than usual. Mm-hmm. And each time when you breathe, there's some, you can call it steam, coming out of you. So that's so you might get dehydrated, and that's why you need to drink a lot of fluids when you have upper respiratory tract infections. And then bed rest also helps, and you want to eat well. Mm-hmm. So fresh fruits and vegetables. Right. You want hot teas and soups rather than cold drinks and ice creams and cakes and things like mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
Normal healthy food, you know.
Correct. Okay.
So are there any worse symptoms for RSV? I know you mentioned coughing, sneezing, and, you know, runny nose and stuff. Like, does it have any more dangerous symptoms, I guess?
Well, you particularly in little kids, right, the 3-month-old, 2-month-old kids with RSV, they have what we call a chest wall retraction. Mm. So that means because their muscles and bones are not that strong.
Right.
So now they're trying to breathe and they're forcing air in and out of their lungs. Mm-hmm. And so you find that their chest wall sucks in with every breath. Mm. And they're really working extra hard to breathe. Mm. And you find, you know, they can't sleep, so they're very irritable. They're actually tired of having to consciously breathe. Because when we breathe, we don't really know we're breathing.
Right.
You know, your chest just moves up and down. Unless you're running or something, then you really pay attention to your breath. Mm-hmm. But if you're sitting down, you're not really thinking about your breath. Now, if your lungs are, if your airways are narrowed by RSV, then you'll have to force air in and out to help move the air in and out. And that's what makes the kids have this retractions of their chest walls.
So is this a common is this a common infection that babies get?
Yes, RSV is pretty common, pretty common. It's a very common infections in newborns, and it's common throughout, actually it's common throughout life, but it's most severe in kids under 2 years of life. Mm. And then in the elderly above 65. Mm. And if you can imagine that the kids are frail, they're young, they don't have so much energy, they can't cough up things like a 10-year-old would. Mm-hmm. And then you might also imagine a frail 80-year-old grandma. Mm-hmm. They also are not that strong enough anymore to cough up stuff and, take very deep breaths when they breathe and so on. So the extremes of life is where you have the severe RSV infections. Most kids from, say, 2 years old to about 60, 65, they'll have a little cough, runny nose, and sore throat, and they keep doing their, going about their business mm-hmm. without causing them much of a problem.
So, at one point, when you have RSV, at what point do you know when to go to the hospital? Like, when does it, what I'm asking is?
Yeah, so if you had a cough, runny nose, and fatigue, a little fever, you're just miserable. Mm-hmm. But you're still eating well and drinking well and able to do things at home. Well, you don't really need to go to the hospital. But if you start to notice someone is beginning to retract, so their chest wall is sucking in, mm-hmm. that's a reason to go to the hospital. Or if you're using something to relieve the pain and fever, and it's not making a difference, then it might not be RSV you have. So at that point, you should at least get to the hospital and have it checked out. Typically in the emergency room, they might take a little specimen from your throat mm-hmm. and check. It's a very short, very short term, 10, 15 minute test. Mm-hmm. So you do it while you're waiting there and they'll see the results. And if it's RSV, they'll let you know it's RSV. But one more thing, they rarely test because it's not for adults, it doesn't do much harm. Mm-hmm. But if you have a little baby that they're thinking that they might admit the kid into the hospital, then they usually will test that kid because they don't want to put the kid with other kids who are sick from something else. Mm-hmm. So if there's a kid in the hospital who has diarrhea, mm-hmm. you don't want to put that kid in the same room with another kid with RSV. Mm-hmm. Then the poor kid with the diarrhea might go home with diarrhea and RSV. So that would be a good reason to test before they put them in the same, in the same room in the hospital.
Yeah, I got you. So what are some preventive measures you can take to,
Well, I mean, the primary thing to do is to wash our hands
right.
frequently. So that helps to get rid of those droplets that we pick up by just touching surfaces. Mm-hmm. There's something the CDC calls cough hygiene. That means when you might cough, you cough into your elbow. Mm-hmm. If you have to cough into your hands, then you go and wash your hands off and sanitize your hands. Right. One thing is to wear a face mask at home. If you're at home and the other kids are in the house, Mm-hmm. Well, you don't want to infect your siblings and your parents with whatever you have, RSV or influenza or even the common cold.
Mm-hmm.
So it's safe to just put on a mask at home. Just, you know, the other thing is if you're sick, you don't want to go to work or go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you don't want to go and infect your classmates in school or your colleagues at work.
Mm-hmm. So there's a need to wear a mask everywhere now, with COVID?
Well, the mask is not specifically for COVID, right? It's for just it's essentially limiting how much your droplets can travel.
Interesting.
So your droplets end up in the mask you have on your face, and they don't reach out to your siblings at home and your parents and your classmates.
Okay. I'm not gonna lie, I really thought the mask was to keep other people from giving you COVID. I don't know how I thought that worked, but yeah.
Well, if we all were to wear masks, then we all keep our droplets to ourselves.
right.
So you cannot tell others to wear a mask to protect you, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can only say, let us all wear masks so we protect ourselves, right?
So why do you think there beginning to be more RSV cases in adults? I've seen a couple people this week at school who, you know, been wearing masks and still talking about they have it and everything. So why do you think there beginning to be more cases?
Well, there are more cases because we test more these days. So we specifically determine what they are suffering from. So the RSV, the common cold, the influenza virus, they all practically have this, in fact, including COVID, they all have practically the same symptoms. COVID has a few other things that people might have, find that they cannot taste the food they're eating. They might have problems with smelling what they knew should smell. You know, it's like you're cooking in the kitchen, you know, okay, this is, I'm frying fish.
Mm-hmm.
You know the smell of a fried fish, and now all of a sudden you can't smell it. That's typical with COVID and not the others. Otherwise, cough, sneezing, runny nose, sore throat can happen with flu, with COVID, with RSV, with common cold.
I thought the taste bud thing with COVID was a myth, though.
It's part of the symptoms you have with COVID. Poor tasting and poor smelling can come with COVID. Yeah.
I knew about the smell, but I never heard about the taste buds.
Right.
So because we know with COVID, you know, everybody was getting it, but some countries, you know, it was more than others. Is that the same case with RSV?
Yes and no. So you find RSV is commoner in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So the countries where you don't have, so my native country, for example, you have a dry and rainy season.
Mm-hmm.
There's no summer, there's no winter, there's no fall. So you have RSV, but it's less common than you have it here.
Mm-hmm.
So even here in the US, you have RSV throughout the year. It's just that it's commonest in the fall and winter.
So you think with the, I remember what it's called, but I can't. The name isn't coming to me. But do you think with the more snow and, you know, weather that we're getting, you mm-hmm. think it's going to be more, prevalent to see people getting RSV and the flu and stuff like that?
Yes. So this, with this weather and the, you know, part of what happens when you have, part of why we have fewer cases of respiratory viruses in summer, mm-hmm. because we are largely outside in summer.
Right.
So we are going out, go to the park, you run and play some ball, you're on the beach, you're running all over the place. Mm-hmm. So you don't get to share those droplets, unlike in the winter when you're all cooked up in the house.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So here now, I'm in Ohio, it's snowing outside.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going out throughout the day. I'll be in the indoors throughout.
Right.
So if anybody in this household has RSV, mm-hmm. they have enough chance to spread it to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Whereas if it was summer and they went to the park and I went to my office and we're all over the place,
mm-hmm.
and then you open up the house, there's a lot of air coming in and out. We're not just turning the heater on all day long.
Mm-hmm.
So the likelihood of transmission is less in summer.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in winter, we're all in the house, we're all turning on the heater.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going anywhere. We're not exchanging air with the air outside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really good environment for all respiratory viruses to spread.
Okay. Now, do you need to get the vaccine for RSV in order to, be able to fight it off? Or can it just like that?
So the vaccine is available on, the antibody is available for children under 8 months of life. So from birth to 8 months. So that's really tiny kids.
Hmm.
And a few other kids, like I said, who have chronic illnesses. They have heart disease, they have lung disease, they are born too preterm. We might give them even beyond 8 months and give them until, older months of life. Then we give the vaccines to pregnant women. So they're young people, they're having babies, right? So we give them the vaccine to help them pass the antibodies to their babies.
Mm-hmm.
So they give the pregnant mother, and then the mother gives birth to the baby. The baby already has antibodies from the mother
mm-hmm.
to fight the RSV. So they don't need to be given any antibodies anymore outside mm-hmm. because they already got it through their mom when my mom was expecting them.
Mm-hmm.
And then in older people over 65, we also give them the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't give anybody in between because unless they're pregnant, so mm-hmm. an 18-year-old doesn't get the vaccine.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. All right, well, we will be right back after a short music break.
He is God. And tonight, God is in control.
Okay.
All right, and we are back to Teens Talk Truth. AJ and Alex and Dr. Oya Ende.
All right, we are back. All right, now, I don't know if you noticed this, but...
But what?
But not here.
Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing? Well, good afternoon, rather. I hope y'all been having a great show while I was taking care of some other things for a moment.
We were talking about RSV,
really?
Yeah, we were talking about RSV, and I didn't know that there was like a vaccine for it or anything. I'd never heard of it before. You know, you're telling me about our aunt and all that, but